Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bezant Resources.
How's things, Colin?
Pretty good.
The company has just announced that Namibia's Ministry of Environment and Tourism has approved an Environmental Clearance Certificate, ECC, for the Hope and Gorup Copper Gold Project under Section 32 of the Environmental Management Act 2007. This ECC is a key requirement for the formal issuance of the 15-year mining license previously conditionally granted by the Ministry of Mines and Energy, and follows the government's approval of the project's social and environmental impact assessment and environmental management plan. Bezant has accepted the license terms, and with the ECC now approved, the company can progress towards financing and construction. Colin, you described the ECC approval as a significant milestone for the project.
Well, that's obviously a very, very important piece of paper in terms of Bezant. We've got the provisional mining license, as you know. And of course, it was predicated on this important aspect. This important aspect, the ECC, the environmental grant, was actually integral and part of the mining license application, but obviously granted by a different ministry. And so they did their work and they're diligent, and their environment is so important, and came to the decision that they grant a license. And I know that our investors, and I do read the bulletin boards, as you know, because I think we have to, because it tempers what people are thinking about the management. And Bards were very anxious about not when we'd get it, would we ever get it? And hopefully they're satisfied that now they've got a project which has got production capability well above average. We've always talked about 6,000 to 8,000 tons of copper. And if you talk about 10,000, that's a 80 million revenue business. Nicely positioned, every single aspect of the business, the contractors, the various items of plant, the modus operandi, the scheduling of the pits, the grade of the pits. We put out the sound engineering work, which said we got a good contribution from gold. We recently reported, which is very significant, Phil, a full-scale test work program of the ore sorting, which showed copper grades were higher than in actual fact, which is not surprising because the population size, it could have been lower as well, but the population size was quite small compared with the entire deposit. What was important was that it confirmed our expectations of 0.6 grams of gold, which now, in this day and age, is worth about 0.6 is about nearly $50, nearly $50 a ton. And then the silver grade at 55 is nearly 2 ounces. That's about $60 a ton. So if you look at that, it brings your copper equivalent up to just over about 2.25, 2.5. That's a healthy copper product. That's a healthy copper input, feed grade. Put that, of course, into the ore sorter, and that makes a very, very good product to take to the plant. But the biggest win there, of course, getting a little bit technical, was that we screened out a minus 19 mil to put through the ore sorter. And lo and behold, that minus 19 mil was full of chalcocite. And as we all know, probably we don't all know, but chalcocite, Phil, contains about 79% copper. And so therefore, that was a very rich component. So our fines, we can put our fines into every truck without putting them through the ore sorter. We can put some fines in. And as you can imagine, if it's just like cornflakes, it'll go through the mill. So it won't have a lot of residence time. So really, that was very successful. So all in all, Phil, I've gone on to a sort of dissertation about the mine, which you all know about, but the ECC allows that mine to be put into production. And now what we've got to do is get the final bits sorted out to make, to inform the market, we're ready. This is the situation. This is the structure. This is the expectations. This is how it's going to be financed. And that's what I'm working hard on now, Phil.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's a great, great, great move. So, I mean, without going into too much detail, and obviously I don't want to put any timelines on it, what work is expected next? What is the kind of, set of events that will happen now with that license?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, because it sort of gives the suggestion, and that's what I've been reading as well on the bulletin boards from time to time, that whilst the company was waiting for the license, was sat on its backside doing nothing. So in actual fact, Phil, we expected a license and work never stopped. So to answer your question very briefly, we're ready for the off. Now, the off means quite a few things. You know, you've got to bring in first of all, you've got to finally sign documents, contracting documents, because in a way, the ECC was still the license wasn't fully granted. So the contractor's got the confidence, as have we, to sign licenses. Preparedness and of contractors, they've got to do their necessary pre-start work. Final work on the plant, that too has got to be finalized. And then there's the work program on the plant is part and parcel of the project. So that will be ongoing. So to answer the question, everything starts with gusto. Everything starts with gusto. But everything was on the go anyway. And so all of those contracts were revisited. Because you've got to remember, from getting the mining license to now, we've lived in inflationary times. And so prices will be finally agreed and contracts signed.
So, Colin, you're looking at Pazant overall now. Are you fairly happy with what happened with your deal that is going to get you the Blackstone Minerals shares?
Yes, that was a good one, wasn't it? I think it represented fair value. It certainly does now. Blackstone is an aggressive group. I've got a big nickel project in Vietnam. But as you know, nickel has not always been the flavor. Well, nickel is a very, very difficult subject now that the Indonesian-Chinese situation is that, you know, nickel producers are all having a fair amount of problems. So I'm sure that Blackstone are happy to sort of get the Mankind project and copper and gold. So the Australians have got a good record of working in the Philippines. As you know, the documentation and the actual process of a scheme, they're doing it by way of a scheme of arrangement, that completes at the end of the May. And assuming that scheme works, I'm sure that you and others have been looking at the screens and looking at the performance of the Blackstone share. And it varies, obviously, day to day. But I think when I look Friday, it was worth around about $7.3 million to us at the Friday Blackstone price and the number of shares we hold. 7.3, what is that in pounds? But around about $7.3 million, it's about five and a half.
Between 5 and 6 million pounds,
yeah, about,
I think.
Yeah, about five and a half, 6 million pounds, which is not bad for a company with a market cap of about 3.6, is it?
Yeah,
that point, what, 5.7 in a bank and a company and a mining operation which is about to start. Charles has given his estimates of cash flows. I've neither agreed nor disagreed because I'm not allowed. But Charles is a very capable analyst, and so he's given the market some ideas of what he expects. And as I say, it's not for me to agree or disagree. But if you look at a mine fully in production, obviously it's got its financing costs and all of those good things. But not a bad company to be in, with a market cap of 3.7, with shall we say 5.7 coming in, and a mine going to start up in the future.
From a point of view of the mine, how do you anticipate that this will happen? Obviously, you've got to bring some finances in. Do you anticipate that will be sort of taking money from the shareholders, as in any dilution?
Again, I've got to be very careful. I'm making forward statements, but when you've got a share cap of 0.024 and a market cap of 3.2, your balance sheet doesn't make finances wanting to fall all over you. So it's not difficult to imagine the type of structure which will emerge, which allows you to finance, and not necessarily through Bazant, you know, SPV into the company and that sort of structure where the company's equity is not at risk in terms of massive dilution. The financing discussions have been going on for the best part of 18 months, 2 years. And so there's many aspects of the financing structure. One, of course, is always prepay. And in this day and age, if the prepayers are confident that you're going to come into production, that your plans will work, you can get prepays, which are a reasonable percentage of the annual revenue. So that of course will be integrated into any financing plan. So we're very confident in that route. The actual execution of the plan is not going to be that complicated, Kevin. You are literally talking about mini pits. You're talking about a project where the ore body, and you guys have stood on it, where the ore body actually reports to surface. That's the first thing nobody believes when we tell them, Kevin, that there's no pre-strip. The sulfide reports to surface. So instead of bringing
there was green bits all over the surface when we were there. We were picking them up with our hands.
Yeah. So instead of bringing in the earth moving equipment and doing a pre-strip, which is costly, because why are you pre-stripping? You're not getting any money, Kevin. And that's not the case here. You actually start digging and you've got your sulfides in the shovel. So it's going to be mini pits. It's going to be a series of mini pits. We'll probably run two at a time so we can balance the grade to our own benefit. But when you talk about pit, don't imagine Palabora. Don't imagine these massive mines in America. You're literally talking about a big quarry, except you're going underground. You know, you're going below surface.
This is not going to be the Grand Canyon, is it? Let's be honest.
No, it's not going to be Bingham Canyon. No. This is going to be two 30-ton trucks, a drill rig, and an excavator. So it really is low key. Obviously, we're not buy the equipment ourselves. We go to contractors. But you don't go to the sophisticated end of this contracting business either. You know, the multi-million contractors who basically have got high overheads, and your first $2 or $3 a ton goes towards their overheads. You can go to the smaller contractors, of which there are many in Namibia and also South Africa and surrounding countries. So that's not going to be a massive planning nightmare. We've also picked the high grade areas so we can actually have 2 or 3 years of very good cash flow. We've been very careful about that. So the modus operandi is get the ore sorting plant in. That would be delivered. Delivery times there wouldn't be much later than August, September for the delivery of the ore sorter. We're going to be powering that, as we've announced before, by solar cells. So we don't have to basically capital finance the energy. We will be buying the energy. You know, buying the power. So we don't have the capex, we don't have the capital, we just buy on a unit basis. And all we had to do was give guarantees on a minimum life of contract. And then we buy the power as you'd buy the power off an electricity board. That part sorted, ore sorting sorted, pits sorted, transport sorted. And so when you think about it, you've got to put all the pieces in the jigsaw together and get on with mining. But we are going to make some additions to the plant in terms of probably magnetic separation to remove iron, so we make a nice concentrate. We probably introduce some surge bins so that we can get a bigger capacity. And there's zero automation. And whilst we're not going to make it an high-tech automated plant, there's a minimum level of automation required to run a good plant, and that plant is a little bit low below the minimum. You've got to remember when the bosses go and you've only got a half a dozen people on the night shift, it's important that you're able to tell, you know, recoveries are dropping, and so you've got more reagent, that sort of thing. So if it's controlled automatically, it can really, really help you from a concentrate grade point of view and also from a productivity point of view. So we're going to do a little bit of investment on that plant too. So we're ready, Phil. We've been ready for the last 6-8 months. So everything's in position. The ECDC has been obviously a very, very, very important piece of paper, which I don't want to undermine its importance. And we always expected it because we do the right things. We work environmentally well, and our consultants are extremely good. And the government are very diligent. And so, that makes for a good combination of assessment and implementation.
Okay, Colin, well, it's great to get your insights on that. And, well done on getting that ECC license. That's a real, really good progress. But we'll say on that note, Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Bezant Resources, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Phil.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.